your goodness. But God, we are redeemed. We are saved by your grace. And because of that, we come as your children. We come joyful to be in the family of God. And God, I pray, no matter what this year holds, we know that through it all, that your goodness will be easily seen and known. God, may we continue to fill our heart with that joy. We know by your mercies we are not consumed, and by your grace we are who we would never else be. And God, I pray that as we begin to focus our minds and our hearts on the truth of that today, God, may we just continue to be used by you wherever you place us and the time that you have given us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. This morning, as we look into our text, you'll notice that the value of time, you'll notice also that it just has Ecclesiastes. We're preaching the whole book today. Just in case. I can't make it back from my knee. Anyway, I studied this through, and I thought, you know, my heart, I'm gonna be really transparent today. In my heart, every day and every time I study and to preach a message, I say, God, let me study and preach like it's my last one. Like it's my last one. Because you know the truth of that is gonna happen someday, right? Someday I'm going to preach a message, and the next week I'm not going to be here. And that's true with you. That's true with all of us. We have that gift of time, that gift of life that Solomon put a tremendous point to. And again, if we even know the name of the book, it's kind of interesting. The Ecclesiastes is basically the Greek word for the speaker of called out assembly. The speaker of a called out assembly. And we also know that it's where we get our word ekklesia, which is simply means church in the Greek. So we have an Old Testament prophet, Solomon, or King Solomon, and he's speaking of one called out of an assembly, talking to you and I who are an assembly of church, of God's family. And so the message he gives, and this is going to be the real quick version of the whole book. We are doing the whole book today, but obviously we're not doing verse to verse. Because I think within this is a tremendous understanding of how we can begin a new year. Because one of the things that we probably squander the most is time. Ask the younger generation, oh, I got time. I'll do that tomorrow. Or I don't have to start saving up for retirement. I'm only 20 or 30 years old. I got plenty of time. Those concepts and phrases of plenty of time, or I can do it tomorrow, or it'll happen later. Those are all individuals who don't appreciate the concept of time. Because listen, you can't squander the time. God has given it to us in a way, and we're going to see down through here, but a little bit about Solomon, as we understand where he's coming from. Solomon writes this from a perspective by which he had lived his life. Now, one of the phrases that are really used a lot in this is under the sun. And we know that that phrase under the sun simply means the days you live on earth. So Solomon is writing this as, listen, I've had the best of best. I've had the privileges. I've had the king. He is a king. He had all the riches and the wealth. He had all the availability of anything he ever wanted. And now towards the later part of his life, he's simply saying, but now I'm reflecting back. That's what this time of the year is all about, right? This time of the year, we reflect back. And some of you are sitting here today saying, I don't know how I made it through last year. Some of you are saying that, man, I made it through last year unscathed. I made it through pretty good. Others are saying, I don't know anything about last year. It's just a blur because of all that you've been through and all you've been through and all that's going on in your life. But what we do know is that every day God gives us is more time, not to be squandered, but to be used. Solomon got a handle on that in the end of his life. Vanity of vanity, vexation of spirit. All those words and all those phrases are simply vanity means nothing. It's good for nothing. Vexation of spirit is just something, it doesn't do your spirit any good in the long run. And again, when Solomon's talking about that, there's a lot of people on this earth, and I will even venture to say there's a lot of Christians who find some joy, the really quick joy, the immediate joy by some of the pleasures of this world. And listen, there's a day when all that joy is going to seem meaningless because you stand before a holy God with nothing to give back. You see, we do have fun on this. Well, I have a lot of fun. In fact, I have too much fun. And I'll show you this illustration. I was sitting on a couch. I was minding my own business. You know me. I don't get in trouble. Trouble finds me. I'm sitting here doing nothing. The two grandkids come up. They start jumping on my lap. And immediately, my wife and my stepson says, "Kevin, really? They're getting ready for bed. What did I do? I didn't do anything." But the grandkids know that if they want to have fun, you come to Papa. We'll have fun. Man, I throw them off the couch, I whip them and do circles, and I throw them on pillows and smash them in the head with pillows. It's fun. We have a blast. Right before bed, that's always a great time to do that. But anyway, when we look at the life we live and the time that God has given us is very short. James says it's a vapor. It's a vapor. So today we're going to look at time. We're going to see how Solomon defines it, how he talks about it. But again, he uses this in the consideration of life without God. And that's where he comes to. That's his mindset. Time can be defined as the accumulation of seconds into moments, moments into hours, hours into days, days into months, months into years, and years into what makes up our journey of life. You see, when we look at that and break it down like that, we realize that how many of you have already planned, I'll just say next week. I got one soul, raise your hand. Y'all afraid to commit to anything. Come on. You have things planned. I know you have things planned next week. But you know, we need to consider the time that God gives us by moments. You know, it's not all the great things we do in life. It's the moments that we take a hold of and we do something for God. Life is built up in moments. Sometimes we get caught up in the days or the years, and you know, and before you know it, it's like, wow, the year's gone. How'd it go so fast? You see little kids rising up. My granddaughter, 16 years old. I'm not that old to have one like that. I don't know how she just happened. I don't know. They adopted her or something. I don't know. But as we look at life, when we look back, we can see, man, time really does fly. Time really does go quickly in life. But let's learn to define it like this, moment by moment. Because I guarantee you, this moment you could be woo-hoo, and the next moment you're done. Been there, done that. You have too. Takes a phone call, takes just a tragedy, it takes something that all of a sudden your whole world is just lost in a moment. Not in a year, not in a day, in a moment. So we're going to try to get back into the moment mindset of time, because I think that's where if we can gain the moment, listen, a moment is 60 seconds. Now, if I stood here quiet for 60 seconds, one, it'd be a miracle. Two, you would probably say, wow, that's a long time. There's a lot of things in 60 seconds. But you know, there are a lot of things that could be positive or negative in 60 seconds, in a moment. So we're going to focus on that. Solomon writes his book with the consideration of life without God that led him to assess time, because he realized it was all for nothing. He squandered the time that God gave him. So as we study this together, I hope we get there. But we're gonna start doing this. First of all, the shallowness of time. The shallowness of time. And it begins in chapter 1, if you're not already there. We're going to begin with chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The words of the preacher is the son of David, the king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher." Vanity of vanities, always vanity. Did he get his point across? pretty clear in that first two verses there, because he's simply saying, again, under the sun is just a picture of that everything under the sun is vanity. Again, the key umbrella phrase is without God. That's his whole mindset. See, you and I, we have a mindset when we go into Scripture. We already have words defined for us. We already have theology given to us. And we already have an ability in a way that our culture, the custom codes and creeds of our culture, has brought us into an understanding that this is the way it's supposed to be. And so we take all of that and we go into Scripture and we say, well, that's what Scripture says. We've got to be very careful, because we're already going in with three quarters of a definition before we even know the word. We've already got this preconceived. We've got this codes and customs and creeds and all of those things come into play. So Solomon's starting right off the bat. He says, my thesis, my overall thing is without God. Then you read verse 1 and 2 again. The words of the preacher, the son of David, the king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Because he said, I'm telling you that without God. So that's very important. If you're going to understand anything about this book, you have to understand where he begins. He's coming into writing this with a heart that says, without God, what do I have? Without God, what does it look like? So the first thing we see on the shallowness of time, and we're going to jump skip through this book. So on the back of each one of these is a verse or a chapter. So you'll have to be flipping through with me. But first of all, Solomon says, I have seen it all. Verse 14 of chapter 1. Verse 14 says, I have seen all the works that are done, again, under the sun, which means journey of life, moment by moment. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Solomon says, there has been nothing on this earth that has happened that I haven't seen and experienced. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's pretty crazy. But, you know, he didn't have social media and he still got it done. We got social media and we don't know what's right and wrong anymore. So when you see this concept, Solomon's saying, listen, the shallowness of time in my young life, I have seen it all. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon will say in this book, in his letter. There's nothing new. Nothing's going to be recreated. Nothing's going to be reinvented. Nothing is new. And so whatever we see the world coming up with, it's not new. It's just a different way of manipulating what God has already put in place. That's our men's knowledge, men's technology. Just manipulating what God has already started, what God has already put into place. And so we see this in the shallowness of time. Listen, in your lifetime, have you seen it all? You know, I mean, some of you may think that. Maybe you've been affected by all of it. But have you seen it all? And so for Solomon, you've got to understand, again, bring your minds back into his day. He probably did see it all as a son of a king. His father, King David. He had all the money, all the way. He could have went anywhere. And listen, their world wasn't quite as big as our world right now, you know. In the Middle East, biblical times, they were down in that area. They weren't all over the world as we have today. And so he probably did see it all. He probably did experience some amazing things. And he still puts it into the shallowness of time. The next thing we see in chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. In verses 9 through 12, Solomon says, so I was great and increased more than in all that were before me. In Jerusalem, also my wisdom remained with me. That's interesting when Solomon says, so I was great and increased more than anybody else before me. I'm a number one dude, man. Ain't nobody better than me. Now, we do know that he prayed for extra special wisdom, and God gave him that. But to say it like that, interesting. So he's great, he increased, he had the wisdom that remained within. Verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was a portion of my labor. So we have him now saying, listen, I've done it all. I've seen it all. I feel like I'm making an insurance commercial. Is that Farmer's Life or what? I don't know what that commercial is. We know a few things because we've seen a few things, you know what I mean? Solomon says, I've seen it all. I've done it all. And he says it right through Scripture. There is no one greater than me. I prayed for the wisdom. God gave me the extra wisdom. And then he says, whatever my eyes desired, I got. I withheld nothing from my heart. And listen, that wasn't a heart that was following God. Because a heart following God doesn't have 1,000 wives. You don't do the things that go against what God has ordained and say, I have a heart after God. So he's talking about that earthly, worldly heart, that heart that says, you know what, I want that. I'm just going to go get it. He had the resources to get whatever his eyes saw and desired. I'd like to do that in one of my moments, okay? Just a moment. Give me a moment. I'll just go get whatever I want, and then I don't have to pay for it. It's there. It's done. You know, it'd be nice. But how much would be enough? You see, that's what we fight, don't we? How much is enough? Listen, I guarantee you, all of us here today have more than what we'll ever use in a lifetime. And so, how much? We've done it all. We've seen it all. The shallowness of life, as he's in time, as he's playing. Two things added there. 17 goes into 18 through 23 of chapter 2. Therefore, I hated life. Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. This word grievous there in the Hebrew is quite interesting. It's disposes off of another. It's like you have it, it's gone. You have it, it's gone. It's like the new vehicles, you know. You have it, it rusts out, you buy another one. You have these things and they're gone. They come and they go. They come and they go. The grievous. It's like you can't buy one thing and have it all of your life. Maybe some of you have. Anybody who have something that you bought as a child and you still have it? You still use it every day? Still works just as good as it did the day you bought it? If you do, you're one of the very few. One of the very few. Today in my world, I call them dust collectors and knickknacks. Because you don't use them every day. You can't, because they'll break. And so we live in this world, again, and Solomon is painting this picture, the shallowness of time. I've seen it all, done it all. I hated my life, and he hated all his labor in verse 18. Yea, I hate all the labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he be wise, a man, or a fool? Yet he have rule over all of my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have sown myself under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore, I went out about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This is also vanity and great evil. And the two verses go along with that. And this is, listen, all you adults, this is the go-to text to tell your children they don't get an inheritance. Just saying, okay? I'm working so hard for all of this so that someone behind me can enjoy it. That doesn't make sense, does it? So you ought to be doing things now. Take the moment of time. Enjoy them now. Give them things now so you can see them and enjoy. Watch them enjoy it. Don't hoard up a bunch of stuff. And then when you're dead and gone, they probably don't want it or sell it or something. Listen, it's an important concept because we don't live in the moment anymore. We don't live for the moment anymore. If this moment is bad, you want to know what? The rest of the day, week, year is bad. We don't allow one moment to end. We take that moment and it defines us for the rest of our day, week, month, year. And we take that stuff on as an identity. Solomon says, listen, time is shallow. Time is very shallow. Hated everything. Done it all, seen it all, hated it all. Kind of a perspective. The shortness of time, he says in another interesting way, one event, chapter 2, verse 14. So we're skipping. Chapter 2, verse 14 says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness, and I myself perceiveth also that one event happeneth to all. What is that one event? Then said I in verse 15, in my heart, as it happeneth to a fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise than I said in my heart, this is also vanity? 16, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which is now in the days to come shall be forgotten, and now how dieth the wise man as a fool? What's the one event? Death. My PCP, the doctor, has a plaque. I love it. Read it all the time. Don't stress over life. No one makes it out alive. Isn't that good? I like that. Man, don't stress over life. We all die. Doesn't matter. Solomon's saying this one event, the shortness of time, it doesn't. We're all going to get there. This side of heaven. Death is something that we need to be concerned about. Once we get to heaven, there is no concern about death, is there? This one event, the shortness of time, it's very short. So in this shortness of time, it also goes to who is the source of this time. It's short, but the source of the time. The source of time we find is a season, a purpose in chapter 3, verse 1. This text has probably been read or preached at many funerals. It's familiar. It's the portion of scripture that defines the seasons or a purpose. And as Solomon begins to write this, he begins to claim this in verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Who is controlling all of this? Who is the source of the time? Because I think when we go through life and we get in an opportunity to go to a new year, listen, we've got more days ahead of us than we do behind us right now. We're just on day one, right? We're starting fresh. My challenge to me and to you is that when you go home today before midnight tonight, that you lay to rest every issue from 2022. Lay to rest. Well, preach it, preacher, but how do I do that? It's very simple. Take it to the cross and leave it there. Just leave it there. Now, listen, we're living life. We're surviving life. We're carrying things over because, you know, we're health, whatever, we're carrying things through. If you are going into this new year, and I'll just use my leg as an example. I'm going into this year hurting just as bad as I did the ending last year. But my attitude can change. My perspective can change. You see, life doesn't stop. As much as we are going through life, we'd like it to stop sometimes, wouldn't we? We'd like to just put the brakes on. We like to be as in the Old Testament, you know, that Joshua just lost some hours. Just God froze time. That'd be awesome in our lives sometimes. But the problem is when you and I slow down too much, time doesn't. We become the speed bump for everybody else. Because time runs. Time goes. But we can go into the new year with a different perspective about what was going on yesterday. Yesterday ended at midnight, right? The ball dropped, the fireworks. I don't know who put fireworks off in our neighborhood, but somebody did. I mean, I'm trying to sleep. My kids are texting me. I'm like, leave me alone. Listen, you know, parents, here you go. My kids texted me at midnight when I was trying to sleep. I didn't answer it until 6 o'clock this morning when they were trying to sleep. Just, I'm being truthful. I woke up at 5:30, quarter to 6. Oh, Happy New Year's. Gotta love it, don't you? Anyway. When you and I look at the purpose, we can't figure that out, can we? When you take those two words and you take season and purpose, there's only one of those words that we can understand and we can figure out, and that's season. We know what a season is, right? We know how it begins and it ends. A season always starts and it always stops, so another season can begin. And if we take every moment of our life as a season, this moment absolutely stinks. It's rocking my faith in God. But the next moment, I'm going to say, God, but you're God. I can change moment to moment if I don't get stuck where God has placed me. I'll never understand the purpose of why God does what he does. And that's a good thing. Because if I can figure God out, he's not worth worshiping at all. It's not my responsibility to figure out the purpose. All I need to know is that, you know what, it's only for a season. Doesn't matter how hard it is, doesn't matter how much it hurts, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, doesn't matter what I have, what I don't have, it's only for a season. Why? Because God said he operates time in a season. And that means it's going to end. So my bad day is going to be ending. So my attitude can change in the moment, even though the circumstance may take a while. You see, it's up to you and I how we joyfully live in this broken world. And that's exactly what Solomon was saying. He's saying, listen, it's hard to live in this broken world. It stinks to live in this broken world. In fact, the harder you work in this broken world, the more you're going to leave it for somebody else. All vanity. All worth nothing. And how important it is to understand that. So he goes on in that text in the verses 1 and following, clean up into verse 8 about time. There's a time for everything. Something begins, something ends. And that's the season. And that's what I want to focus on. You and I know that we live time in moments by seasons. The question is, how long are you going to allow that season to cripple you? How long are you going to choose to let the circumstance you can't control cripple you when you choose how to respond in your season? Listen, we still got a little bit of hunting season going on. And it's like, you know, you're going out into hunting. There's some requirements to go with you, right? You go out into a hunting stand and you take nothing with you. That's when you'll see the big one. Or you're going out and you've already got your buck and you're going out after doe and all you see is buck. It's the way of life. It's just what happens. Listen, when we go into the seasons, man, we don't know why. We'll never know. All I know is that I trust a God in my season that is preparing me for better. Because that's his promise. We're just talking about Psalms 23. You take Psalms 23 and you take the one verse out of it that states, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he is with me. Take that verse. And now every other one of those verses are his promises that are written on the side of the mountain as you walk the journey. He's going to lead me to better pastures. He's going to do these things for me. He's going to put me by still waters. As you're walking through, God's going to do all the promises for you. Isn't that awesome? And instead of looking down at your feet and looking down how bad it is, look up, see the side promises, and just start walking. I don't know if it's just Baptists or y'all or what, but we need to get a little pep in our step. We need to get a little movement going on. Now, Baptists, you're allowed to dance, no hips. That's what Mark Lowry said, okay? But as we need to walk our spiritual life, we need to be moving forward, not stuck in the moment. Man, when we get stuck in a moment, we lose the years. There's a season and a purpose for everything God does. The next thing we find is God commands. Look at verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Isn't that amazing? God said, you guys can do all you want to do and think all you want to think, and you really think you're going to figure it out? Listen, man wastes so many brain cells on trying to figure out God's purpose and plan. We don't need to. God says, listen, why don't you just be a little bit more joyful and trust me in it? Be a little more joyful in your circumstance and let me walk you through it with the promises on the side of the mountain written. Let me take you where you need to go and how important it is, because God is able to use anything, anyone, for the fulfillment of his purpose. There's not one person that has ever been procreated in this world that God doesn't hold as valuable. There's not one person that has lived life, made mistakes, made sin in their life, done crazy, stupid things that God can't forgive, redeem, and bring back up and say, now we can still be used. It's us that look at each other and say, boy, you ain't no good. Bad hair day. I don't have them anymore. Just had to say that. I choose not to have them because I buzz it every other week. But you know, when we look at life, how many times do we go and how many times do we think of other people's opinion and we set God's opinion about who we are inside? We don't look at how important we are to God. We don't look at how fearfully, wonderfully we are made from God. And we don't look at the concept that, listen, God created me just as I am. And he created me this way because he has a plan and a purpose that only this can fit. This can fill. I am not confused over who I am as a man of God, like our world is. confused on how they do what they do. It's a way in which Satan has entered in and begins to take away the heart and the soul of a man and of a woman filling the roles that God created them to do. Listen, we need to understand this because we're living in a world. We need to remember God commands this time. He is the source of it. He starts a season. He ends a season. He has a purpose in the season. He controls it, can use anybody he wants, good, bad, or otherwise, to fulfill his plan. We can trust that, although we can trust nothing else in our world. The next thing is we see the stewardship of time, and this is an important one. The stewardship of time, our portion and our gift. Chapter 5, verse 18. Let's go to a couple other chapters. Chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Behold, that which I have seen is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and enjoy the good of all the labor that he hath under the sun, all the days of his life, which God giveth him for his portion." You only have so many moments before you're done. And it don't matter what doctor you're seeing. It don't matter how healthy you are. It don't matter how sick you are. It don't matter whether you're on a vent or not on a vent. In the last few years, it don't matter if you're laying here with COVID or not COVID. God knows the exact amount of your portion on this earth. The means he has to get you home, we worry about. But the fact that God is holding that, man, that strengthens me. In fact, that allows me to be a little bit more risky when I probably shouldn't be. But then a verse, don't tempt the Lord your God. So that verse has to stay there too. Can't tempt him. But we have this ability, a portion. He has gifted us. Every morning you wake up, it's by the gift and the grace of God. He didn't take you out in the middle of the night. Then you put your feet on the floor and the rest is yours to live faithfully obedient to the rest of your decisions in that day. In the moments. Take every moment. Our gift, verse 19, follows it up and says, "Every man also whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given power to eat thereof and to take of his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is a gift from God." Everything we have nothing without God. And this is what we really need to get sinking in our moments. At this moment, I have nothing. I have no ability. I have no wisdom. I have no knowledge. I have no strength. I have nothing I can do without my God, because that's the thesis of what he's saying. Without God, I can't do it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you with God. You see, those two words in that verse make it all happen. Because we easily are fall. We easily are tempted, and we always make mistakes. With God, I can handle anything. That's exactly the thing Solomon is saying. Our portion and our gift are both in his hands. So we need to be stewardship. We need to have that, and we need to take that gift, take the portion of life. We call it today is that dash on the tombstone. Day you born, day you die. That dash, that's your portion. That dash is your gift. And it's very humbling for me because my name is on a tombstone and the day I was born is on a tombstone. My dash is on a tombstone and I hope the Lord gives me an email about the other one. The only thing missing on my tombstone is the day I die. And so, listen, that's very humbling and sombering when you realize that everything is in place except one moment. One moment. One heartbeat. Gone. One moment. And the dash is done. We need to be stewards of that time. We have to be stewards of that time. The next thing we see, and I apologize for that thing in the middle of my screen, which is not going to let me do anything until I get rid of it. As we see, and I don't even think I can get rid of it. As we look into what I believe, bear with me one second, please. Speaking of stewardship of time, man. As we continue to think this process through on a moment by moment, what we need to realize is that in any given moment, life may change, but a guaranteed change in any given moment is our attitudes and our reactions toward them. And when we look at any given time and we look and see what God is doing and how God is doing it, we need to realize that there is something special going on in the hearts of each of us. Because when we have the ability to change our thinking, we have the ability to change our time, we have the ability to change all of that. We need to look at it in a way as God is saying, listen, there is something phenomenal going on here. And in that realms of being, there's a purpose in that, and I don't know what it is. I got to practice what I preach because it just ain't working. Anyway, Satan didn't like what I was saying. So in this realm of the gift, all right, I'm going to move on, and I'm going to tell you what it is. I can't read it that small. Our result, 5:20. Let's go to our result, 5, verse 20. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. This is one of the most important transitions you'll see right here. We have a portion of time. We have a gift of time. And now the result of that is I have joy in the moment. I'm not going to remember all of my life. I'm going to remember the joy in the moment I'm in. That's exactly what verse 20 is saying. God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Listen, I don't like to go back and remember all the goods, the bads, and the others. I like to remember how God has brought me through many things. But when we go back and we start staying in the past, listen, there is nobody alive who can drive their vehicle 65, 70, 80, however you do it, down the road, looking in the rearview mirror. Amen. If you look in the rearview mirror, you may get it a little bit, but you ain't going to last very long. But yet we'll live our life like that. We're making decisions for tomorrow, living in yesterday. And we can't do that. Why? Because we didn't deal with the moment. We didn't deal with the moment we were in. And so to me, trying to figure out that concept of moment is very, very difficult. Because when we put this together and we practice what we're preaching and how we're doing it here, is we need to realize that, see if that works again, Wendy, it might work. When our result comes through, our result is something that God says every moment you have a joy. Every moment you have an ability. Listen, I know y'all ain't joyful every moment. I see you for an hour on Sunday and I beg for you to get one. We need to have this joy so the world can see a difference, because it hurts no matter what we do. The next thing, and we're going to end this up. I know it's getting close to the hour. The twitches are starting. Seize the day. And that's a very important part, because we have to seize the day. Go all the way back to chapter 11. You didn't think we were going to get there, but we're going to get there. Chapter 11, sowing and reaping. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 6 is quite interesting, because God is giving promises that though it may seem the effort of being wasted in serving God or serving him, there will be rewards in heaven. 2 Timothy 4:8. Sowing and reaping is all in verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls toward the south, towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it will be. I mean, it's cause and effect. It's reaping and sowing. So when we talk about seizing the day, you have an opportunity in your portion, your gift of time, to take that day, to take that moment and say, you know what? I'm not going to have a bad attitude. I'm not going to say what I'm thinking. I'm not, the sin is when it comes out, just saying. I'm not going to do those things. You have a choice in the moment. Listen, many good moments make a good day. Many good days make up a year. Many good years make up a pretty good life. Sow and reap. That's exactly what Psalm is teaching in these verses 1 through 6. And then we come to the close, the end of our journey, the end of journey importance. Chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Listen, your life is not made up of one thing. Your life is made up of many things, many decisions, many, many moments of choice. And God says, listen, I know every one of them. God knows every one of our moments. Every one of our choices, good or bad. And when God does it, listen, I am really glad that I am forgiven and redeemed, because I have a lot of moments I don't want to remember. And I really hope God doesn't. But I've been redeemed for them. My choices I made in my younger years that just led me all different wrong directions. Man, it's God is saying, I know what you did. I know what you thought in that moment. I know what you accomplished in that moment, good or bad. But you're redeemed. You're forgiven. We are the ones who don't allow us to forgive us so that we can move forward in joy. And we need to have the forgiveness, our own forgiveness. We need to understand God's forgiveness so we know that we are forgiven in a way that we can continue in the process. So as we go today, as we realize that today, the first day of the year, it's not over until it's over. You're halfway through. It's noon right now. You got 12 more hours to make all this happen. You got 12 more hours to think about the junk you're carrying over from last year. What are you going to do with it? You got 12 more hours to carry over the bad attitudes and all those things in your life that are going to stop you from having the joy today. It's a new year. It's a new beginning. It's fresh. Just like God's mercy in Lamentations 3:22. His mercy is fresh. By it, we're not consumed. And it's fresh every morning. Man, God knows how to live in the moment, doesn't he? God knows how to refresh me in the moment. The question is, am I living in the moment? So when we take this away, remember this. Time is like water in a stream. Once it has flowed over the rock, it will never flow over that rock again. Get a visual. I love the outdoors. Love to be out there. Love to be walking. Love to be just sitting by the brook of water, just bubbling and running over the rocks and giving you that little ambience. But you know, once that road flows, it'll never flow the same rock again. So is time. We need to redeem the moments that we have. The second thing we need to go is don't misuse our gift of time. Because God's the one who knows when it's done. When our gift of time is done, listen, doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. God said it's done is done. I take great comfort in that. Because I can't go blame me. I can't go blame doctors. I can't go blame hospitals. I can't go blame that car driver. I can't go blame. I have no right to blame anything. The way and the means that God used is just called life. When I believe with all of my heart that nobody takes that breath from me but God, I have no reason to blame anybody. God, the time's up. The problem is the regrets we have because we squandered the time with them. We squandered the time and the attitude and stuff. Again, we want it back. We want the time back, right? We want all that back. So why? We can do it again better? Probably not. Look at the track record that we have. Maybe God did something in your life and he put you to your knees. God, if you just get me through this, I'm going to be so much better for you. God, I promise. I promise, God. And God got you through it. And a month later, you were no different if you lasted a month. You see, we have a track record that says, no, we won't. That's why we just trust the hand of God, knowing that he will do. Listen, redeem the time, redeem the moments. They're important. The last thing today, fear God more and love and serve him obediently every day in this new year. That's what Solomon came to in the conclusion, didn't it? The conclusion of the whole matter of life. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Then you'll have your joy. Then you'll be able to go through life and realize that I can trust him. That's the difference. That's what we need to have. Boy, going into the new year, God, and I fear God knowing that he, as we read in previous, that he knows every one of my moments. That he remembers every one of my moments. And how important it is that we do that. And so we need to realize that in this new year, going into it, man, I want to encourage you. You're all looking like, man, you just shot me in the foot. No, I want to encourage you. Some of you think that my aim is that good. I'll hit your foot instead. But anyway, as you look at this, listen, this is encouraging. Because we've got a God who still is managing time. He still is opening and closing seasons in our life. He still is writing the promises in those valleys that we go through. He still is wanting us to be encouraged and have that joy. It's not about all the, it's about the joy in the moment. Solomon says, listen, it's not about all the things you gain, not all the things you have. It's about God giving you the joy in your heart in the moment. And listen, that's very catchy. Y'all worried about a virus? This is a virus you want to catch. Catch the joy and the excitement about God. Don't put no mask on. Don't put on no fake facade. Just lean into it and love it and see what God will do in this new year. God, we thank you for the time together today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that we were able to understand today. And God, how important it is that we take that and apply that to our life in a way that allows us to simply just have that joy. God, I know it even in my life. It's hard to muster that joy up sometimes. And every time I try to muster it up, I can't get it. It's because I'm trying to do it. God, when I just let go and I just carefree, God, I'm trusting you with whatever's going on. And God, I'm trusting you in all these situations in life. And boy, if we would just have a prayer life that not asking you for everything, but just thanking you and trusting you in everything, boy, our joy is just, it's there. And God, I pray this year, I pray for this ministry. I pray for the many things that will be accomplished, the many hearts that will be touched by the true preaching of your word, the many, many individuals who will be encouraged and strengthened and saved through this ministry. And God, I pray for everyone here today that we will find our season, we will find our gift, we will use it and not squander it away for your honor and your glory. God, we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Trust you leave encouraged this morning, but if you're here and you're struggling, listen, there's no better place to leave it.